Again, welcome to St. Andrew's this morning. Glad to see you here. The return of winter, I am glad. Spring, though it's been nice, still it's out of order. I'd like to talk about a couple things today. First thing, I want to talk about what I hope you heard in 1 Thessalonians, and that it should have raised a little objection in your heart or mind as to how it is possible to do these things that we're told to do. And then I want to talk a little bit about the relationship between Isaiah and the gospel. So 1 Thessalonians, two injunctions right off the bat we hear in today's lesson. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. How are you doing with those? Okay, I think something needs to be said about each of these teachings, or they will be subject to complete misunderstanding. Pray without ceasing. This makes, I think, no sense at all if we think of prayer only as words. And that's primarily the type of prayer that we do here in our formal gathered worship services. We pray with words. But imagine if you were to pray with words, and you had words either physically spoken or even running through your mind all the time. That would be like a screen that would interpose itself between you and your encounter with the world. And so you'd really only be knowing your own words all the time. And think of your spouse. If you tried to have a conversation with your spouse and all you got was a kind of words of prayer, that would be rather unsatisfying. And so I say to you, prayer is more than words. You might say the most basic form of prayer is attention. And the most basic place of prayer is the present moment. So to pray without ceasing really we're being told, stay always in the present moment. Stay where God is. Stay right here, right now. It's not a bunch of words that you're talking to God, talking about God, asking God for things. Rather, it's that your attention is here in the present moment, and you're actually here where your life is taking place. Do this without ceasing, says Paul. And would that we could. I mean, but that's kind of what we're aiming at. To live continually in this present moment. Pray without ceasing. Then, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, this clearly makes no sense if we interpret this to mean like everything that happens to you. Feel good about everything that happens to you. Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't mean that. Think of what we talked about last week. And for those of you who weren't here, I will review a little bit. What we talked about last week was the valleys being lifted up and the mountains being brought low. The field in which we live being leveled out somewhat. And last week I talked about it in terms of corrupt human values, the values that raise certain people, certain nations, certain occupations way up, and then the values that treat whole nations, whole classes of people, whole races of people as if they were expendable. And I said that has to go. Those corrupt human values have to be overthrown. This week, when we talk about giving thanks in all circumstances, I think one of the things that Paul asks us to recognize is that each of us has a relationship with the world around us in which we say, I like that, but I don't like that. I want that, but I'm afraid of that. I'm trying to get there, but I'm trying to avoid this. And all of those things set up our own little world of mountains and valleys. Or we say, oh, I've got a really important day coming up on Wednesday, but between now and Wednesday, not much is happening. Well, Wednesday then functions as a peak, and Tuesday and Monday are kind of a valley. And this is saying, actually, let the world be just as it is. Before we start to work with our judgments on the circumstances that come to us, saying I like this or I don't like that, before that, things just are what they are. And to give thanks in all circumstances is not to like everything that happens to you. That would be impossible. It is to say yes to the circumstances of your life. A basic kind of radical acceptance, which is the first step. If you're going to say, I'll deal with this, but I'm not going to deal with that. Well, then you're divided against yourself and you're running away from your own life. Give thanks in all circumstances really means I'm going to say yes to whatever my life brings. And to understand that my real freedom is not to control circumstance. We all try to do that, and we do it with some success, but everybody here knows something about circumstances that are beyond our control. And so it's not to control circumstance so that everything that happens to us is pleasing and happy, but to say yes to all things and to realize that our freedom lies in how we choose to respond to the circumstances that come to us. Our freedom, how do you want to respond to things? That freedom can never be taken away. So give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't mean you like it, but it means you say yes. I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to live this. Or as I used to say to clients in therapy, will you consent to let this be part of your life story? Will you consent to let this be part of your story? Because it is. Now, you can say yes or you can say no, but if you say no, you're divided. Say yes to all circumstances and then explore your freedom as to how you want to deal with it. Isaiah. Isaiah and the Gospel. Isaiah, I look at this text and I say it is, in a sense, an encapsulation of both the glory and the confusion of the Old Testament. And I will come down more strongly today on the side of glory, because let me get my glasses. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me with God's own Spirit. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The glory of the revelation of the real and living God to the people of Israel. God revealed God's own self to the people of Israel in words like this. And remember, this is 2700 years ago. Not everybody in the ancient world was talking like this about God, about ultimate reality. They were saying maybe things like, thank you for supporting our king. Thank you for investing kings with great power and glory and splendor and making them your emissaries on earth. It is a glory of the people of Israel that they understand about the creator of all things, that the creator of all things is concerned with the brokenhearted and the oppressed and the captive and the prisoner and the blind. And to make good and to heal and to set free is of the nature of God. And that is a glory. And even in our so secular age, many people cling to values like this without really understanding where they came from. And they came from the Jews. They came from God through the Jews. But I left out a line, as doubtless you heard, I hope. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. That's the line that sort of undoes the glory of the Old Testament, because for as much as they had a true apprehension of who God actually is, throughout the Old Testament there is this tension between our God and those for whom our God is not God. So that the day of vengeance is still the Hebrew way of dealing with their enemies. They had not yet really encountered the heart of Jesus, who said, actually, the way to deal with your enemies is not to have God come with a day of vengeance to set things right, the great, terrible day of reckoning. That's not the way you deal with your enemies. The way you deal with your enemies is to find a new way to love them. Find new space in your heart to perceive them the way God perceives them, to extend to them the love of the one true and living God. So that the Gospel of Luke, one of the first appearances that Jesus makes, quotes this line. He goes to his hometown in Nazareth, unrolls the scroll, and reads the scroll, because this is the way Jesus understood himself. He takes these words of Isaiah, or the author of Luke takes these words of Isaiah, and said, this is the work that Jesus is about. This is the work that Jesus is about. And they read that entire first section, and they did not. Luke does not include, and the day of vengeance for our God. That is left out of how Jesus describes the beginning of his ministry. It is pure blessing, pure liberation, healing, sight to the blind, the lame get to walk, the dead are raised, captives are let go, the brokenhearted are comforted. It is pure, pure blessing, even for those who don't deserve it. And who might those be? Even for those who don't deserve it, it is pure blessing. And so that the ministry of Jesus is framed taking part of the Old Testament, but eliminating at least part of that tension. God is not coming with vengeance. God is coming with healing and compassion and an invitation to all. And this passage does not end with John the Baptist. He usually says, I baptize you with water. The one who is coming after me will baptize you with Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, which is, I believe, when we say, let us go forth into the world to make known the love of God, in a sense, we are talking about baptizing the world around us with Spirit. Think of the prayer we say at the end of every service, the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. If you are ever in a situation where hatred is dividing people and your own heart opens and you see a way to introduce real compassion and real understanding and real love into that situation, where the enmity drains away and people are allowed to return to themselves and recognize each other and are reconciled, know that you have baptized the world in that moment. That the love of God has flowed through you to the world, and it has begun to change people's hearts. There's a baptism of water, an outward baptism, and there is a baptism of the heart that occurs in the Spirit. And if we are to be in the Spirit of Jesus, and the Spirit of most of Isaiah, and the Spirit of Paul, let us go forth into the world to baptize the world in the name of the one who came purely in blessing, no vengeance, but compassion, who said, don't be afraid, who said, wake up, who said, pay attention, who said, love the life you've been given with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and you'll be fine. Amen.